of Coker.
Do I have Buchanan?
Excuse me?
Buchanan.
Oh, I, well, I'm sorry. I went ahead. It's been pointed out to me I skipped. I'm sorry. Yes, you have to wait, Mr. Goodfriend. It's Buchanan in Department of Labor and Industries. I looked ahead. I apologize. We'll still hear from the estate of Coker, but not yet.
Sorry.
That's okay. I must stay in order.
All right, if I could reserve 2 minutes, that would be good.
2 minutes?
Yes,
certainly.
All right. Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Catherine Mason, and I'm here representing Justin Buchanan, an injured worker here in the state of Washington. As you might recall, though it's already been a long morning, this is a course of employment case, and as I think we all agree who argue about these cases, that they have existed since the beginning of workers' compensation law, and they're always very, very fact-specific. In this particular case, it's our position that when Mr. Buchanan made his second trip back up to the job site in order to retrieve his tools so that he was prepared to work the following morning, that he was in the course of his employment when he made that trip.
Would you agree that Mr. Buchanan ordinarily would fall within the going and coming rule, but that there are exceptions that you're relying on to that rule?
That is correct, and I agree with that. And our position is in fact that he was not commuting when he made that second trip. A commute is when you travel to a job site in order to perform your work. And when he made that second trip, while he was traveling to a job site, the purpose of that trip was not to perform work. It was to retrieve tools so that he would be prepared the next day. Just like, for example, if you go home for lunch, for example, you're not commuting to and from home for your lunchtime, but you're commuting for your first trip of the day and the second trip of the day home. And that is how we use the term commute. This special trip, and if he's not commuting...
You're saying it... Just so I understand you correctly, you're saying that if you're at work, you go home for lunch and you come back, that does not fall within the going to and coming
rule. Right. That is not a commute.
Okay.
The going and coming rule is there are all of these statutory exceptions, and then there are the case law exceptions for this course of employment in these course of employment cases. And our position is that if he isn't commuting, then what was the purpose of that trip? And the purpose of that trip in our position is that he was in the furtherance of his employer's business, and that it was a dual purpose, most certainly. He was picking up his own tools. There's no question about that. That was his responsibility. But he made that trip at that time of day and in order to work the following day as he was dispatched. And so in making that second trip, that's what takes him out of the commute mode.
And your argument was that was for the benefit of Matt.
I think it was for the benefit of both of them. I mean, he couldn't have taken the job. He shouldn't have taken the job, according to the record, without those tools. It was understood both implicitly and explicitly.
And had he not taken that job, what detriment would have occurred to the employer, if any?
Well, they would have had to find someone else to cover that that shift that following morning at the new job site. So they would have had to go back to their Rolodex and find someone else.
Don't they typically do that in ordinary course of business? People call up, they don't have to take a job, and if they don't, they move on to the next person.
It's true, but in this particular case, the idea that he could have just declined work the following day is sort of a false choice for him. And as far as Madden was concerned, I mean, the evidence is that he was a long time you know, they were kind of a temp agency, if you will, for contractors, and that he had been working with them for years, that he was an experienced framer and contractor, and that he was moving from one job that ended early and unexpectedly on one day, and then was moving to a new job. So, of course, they could have called someone else, but they didn't. They called him, and in order for him to work for them and for their benefit the following day, he needed his tools.
Was it for the employer's benefit or for Mr. Buchanan's benefit that he left the tools at the Fremont work site?
For sure, it was a decision that he made so that he didn't have to carry his tools back and forth every day. All contractors and all employees needed to have their tools at the job site every day. That's just an accepted custom in the industry. But it was known to Madden that that was what he did. There was no objection to that. There was no
There was evidence that when Madden made the phone call and asked him to work, that Madden knew that he didn't have his tools?
There isn't. No, but there is not. They did know, and they, Mr. Buchanan testified, and there was nothing that contradicted it, that they knew that he didn't drive a personal vehicle, and he didn't store his tools in the trunk of his car like most other employees did, that he often, and more often than not, left his tools, if they would be safe, at a work site.
Okay, but he didn't inform them of that on this particular?
Not specifically, no. He did not, or there's no evidence.
And they made no request that he go and retrieve his tools in order to show up at the work site the next day?
I would say specifically no, that there is not evidence that that is the case. However, the testimony from both parties was that everybody knew that he needed to have those tools there the next day, that that was expected. We know not only from the declarations and the deposition transcripts that were used to decide the summary judgment motion, that from those work order slips, that customer for the next day did require that Mr. Buchanan arrive with his tools and his safety equipment and so forth. So while there was not a specific instruction.
If Mr. Buchanan hadn't made that trip, mm-hmm. would the employer have been required to some other way accomplish that objective? Understand what I'm saying? To retrieve the tools.
One would presume. There isn't any evidence in the record about that. But if he abandoned those tools, I think it's...
But that would be for his benefit. I'm trying to figure out... I mean, I think under the dual purpose thing, exception, one of the tests is whether or not if the employer doesn't do this, make this the business purpose of the trip incidental to the personal purpose for the trip, mm-hmm. that the employer would have had someone else, the employer would have had required someone else to make that trip for him. Isn't that correct?
Well, I think at some point the tools would have had to have been retrieved. They were retrieved on this particular day because of the next day's job assignment. You see, if he abandoned the tools...
Let me ask it another way.
Sure, and I'm sorry.
If Mr. Buchanan had... not made that trip, would the employer have sent someone out to make that trip to retrieve Mr. Buchanan's tools?
We don't know. I mean, all we can do is...
Do you think the
infer.
Employer would have sent someone out to retrieve Mr. Buchanan's tools?
I doubt it. Yeah, I don't think so. I think at some point, had he abandoned the tools, either the contractor or Madden would have had to have had the tools removed from the customer's attic. But I don't think anyone would have been sent out on that particular day to pick up those tools.
So the only person that was really interested in picking up the tools on that particular day was Mr. Buchanan.
For that particular trip, and if he was to be completing the work the next day, then those tools needed to be retrieved. He needed to have them in his possession in order to work the following day. And so for those reasons, we believe that he was both in the furtherance of his employer's business so that he could be prepared, and that there was certainly a dual purpose in retrieving those tools. Thank you very much. Excuse
me. May it please the Court. My name is Thomas Foliano. I represent the Department of Labor and Industries in this matter. This Court should affirm summary judgment for the Department for three reasons. First, the going and coming rule excludes coverage because Buchanan was injured during his commute. Second,
was it in fact a commute?
It was a commute. Your Honor. It was a commute.
He wasn't going to and from work, was he?
He was. He was leaving the job site to return home.
Was he going for the purpose of work? The coming and going rule applies even though he wasn't going there for the purpose of working?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. I mean, the going and coming rule, as the very terms of the rule suggest, it's about going to and coming from work.
Doesn't have anything to do with why.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
This was a commute, but the commute is kind of encompassed in the general going and coming rule, whether or not he's going to the job site to work or not. He was returning from the job site to his home. So it fits within that rule. And like all commutes, Buchanan's trip would have resulted in his ability to work in general, but that generalized benefit to the employer is not enough to satisfy the dual purpose exception. That's my second point. And my third point is that if coverage was allowed in this case, it would incorrectly bring all commutes into the course of employment and virtually abolish the going and coming rule. So the starting point in this case for the analysis here is to recognize the undisputed fact that Buchanan was injured during his trip from work to home. That was conceded, and it's undisputed in this case. And it's very well established under the going.
Madden and Buchanan had worked together for some time?
Yes, he worked for Madden and other placement agencies
okay.
as well.
So is it fair to infer that Madden was aware of his habit of leaving his tools at his job site?
There's nothing in the record to establish that as a matter of fact in this case, but I don't think it would be dispositive in any event.
Okay, why not?
Because the tools were Buchanan's responsibility. He owned them. He was responsible for them. Madden did not exercise any control or discretion of those tools, did not finance them in any way. So the tools were always his responsibility to carry to work and back home. That's the industry standard for carpenters. Is they bring their jobs to the job site each day, no matter who they work for, no matter who dispatches them.
So Madden was aware that he didn't have his tools, and so impliedly accepted the idea that he was going to have to go get his tools in order to show up for work the next day. Your argument is that his trip to get those tools still does not fall within the dual purpose exception.
That's correct. That is part and parcel of the commute, to bring your tools to work, to show up to work, able to work. That's the industry standard in this case, and that's the general recognized and universally applied rule, the going and coming rule, that workers are not covered in the course of their commute, and that includes when workers are carrying the implements of their work during that commute. That doesn't change the going and coming nature of that commute. It still falls within the exclusion of coverage. The fact that Buchanan was injured during his second commute here does not change that fundamental analysis. At its core, this case is still no different from any ordinary commute to or from work. And the board recognized that in its board order in this case. They said that it would have been clear that Buchanan would not have been covered on his first trip home, and it would be unfairly incongruous to apply an exception on his second commute, especially when the only reason he made the second commute was because he left those tools there for his own convenience, and they were his personal tools. They were not owned or controlled by Madden, and he was not directed or requested to make that trip by Madden. The dual purpose exception only applies if the business purpose was so important or unique to the employer that it would have required that same trip by another employer, independent of that employee's commute. And that was conceded, counsel's argument here this morning, that there's nothing in the record to establish that Buchanan would have required anybody else to make that trip. They could not have asked anybody else to make that trip because they weren't Madden's tools. They were Buchanan's tools. The only other trip that would have happened would have been the same ordinary commute that any other carpenter would have made going to and from the job site. And that is dispositive in this case. Turning just briefly to the implications of Buchanan's argument in this case, which would virtually abolish the going and coming rule, the argument for coverage in this case is based on the logic that Buchanan needed his tools for employment, that his employment financially benefited the employer, and therefore he was in the course of employment because that provided a benefit to the employer. But that ignores the actual legal framework in this case, and it would incorrectly transform the course of employment analysis into an oversimplified but-for type of analysis that would bring all commutes, all ordinary commutes to and from work simply by bringing work tools with them along the way. And if that is accepted as the standard, then there would be no reasonable parameters to the going and coming rule, and it would be virtually abolished. The legislature and the courts have recognized this case, this rule, consistently and applied it consistently, and have already established that those types of trips to and from work, whether they're called commutes or just called going to or from work, are not covered under the Industrial Insurance Act. You know, unless there are any other questions or issues that I can clarify, I'll just conclude by saying that this is, again, a standard going and coming case. Buchanan was injured during his commute home, and this court should affirm.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Sorry, going. So, Your Honors, I would just like to point out that the issue of carrying tools has been addressed many times by other courts, including in the McKay case and the Truesley case. The Truesley case is a Board of Industrial Insurance case, but that injury happened in a parking lot, which is another exclusion under the Act. However, because she was carrying the tools of her trade in a parking lot, she was covered. Also, in the McKay case, which is an older Supreme Court case, it was the very act of him carrying the repaired parts to his vehicle when Mr. McKay was neither on the clock, nor was premiums being paid for that time, but it was because he was carrying the tools of his trade that the Supreme Court extended coverage to him and found him an injured worker under the Act.
In your briefing, you were relying on two exceptions, the special errand exception and the dual purpose exception. Are you still relying on both of those? Or?
I think the dual purpose is the stronger of the two than the special errand. I mean, I think that it is implicit that he needed to obtain these tools in order to do the work the following day, but I do think that the dual purpose rule is the better argument. But I'd like to turn for a minute, if I could, to the liberal construction requirements of the Act. And I would point out that just not that long ago in 1999, in fact, in this particular court, the department argued in the Bolden case that that the department itself argued for liberal construction in favor of coverage for those workers in the state of Washington. In order to carry out the mandate of our Industrial Insurance Act, liberal construction, while not intended to apply to liberal construction of facts, the application of the Act itself is to be applied liberally in favor of coverage. And if you have doubts, they should be resolved in favor of Mr. Buchanan or remanded for a factual hearing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.